So is anybody else besides me excited that spring training is right around the corner?
Yeah!
Yeah, we live in a spring training state. I don't know if any of you guys remember back in 2017 what J.D. Martinez on the Diamondbacks did. He tied a major league record, and it was extra sweet because it was against the Dodgers. That's always sweet.
Yeah!
He hit 4 home runs in one game. It was tied for the most ever. It's happened multiple times, but what a game. And I was thinking, like, after that game, what if J.D. Martinez came up to you or I and said, hey, you know what, I just had a great game. Why don't next game you take my bat and my uniform and you play for me today? There's some of us that would love that opportunity, but if we're realistic, we know darn well that pitch is going to be coming in so hot and so fast, we probably won't even be able to move the bat before it's in the catcher's mitt. And we're going to go 0-for-4, right? Most of us. Maybe not Aaron. He's a baseball man. But what if J.D. Martinez said, hey, not only am I going to let you take my uniform and my bat for that game, but I will actually enter into you.
No.
You'll have my eyesight.
No.
You'll have my bat speed. You have my power. All you need to do is trust me and swing the bat.
I don't think so.
That would change everything, right? That would change everything. You'd have a good shot at hitting some home runs. Hey, why are you sharing that, Scott? Not just because I'm excited about spring training. It's because as we think about stepping up to the plate of the Christian life, the wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit of God is that we don't have to live the Christian life in our own power. In fact, we can't. He has taken up residence in the life of the believer so that we can live in the power of God. Acts 1:8 said you'll receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. John 14:17, Jesus told his guys, you know the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Today, in this little mini-series about the Holy Spirit, before we get to Acts chapter 2 in a couple weeks, we're going to focus in on the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we talk about his power directly in the life of the believer, I want to trace it a little bit throughout the Bible. I want to start this morning by talking about the Holy Spirit's power in the Old Testament. And you're going to have to do some flipping. And if you want later on, pull up this message and write down these passages and look them up, because we're going to be going all over the place. But his power in the Old Testament, first I want to talk about his power, the power of the Holy Spirit in the creation of life itself. Genesis 1:2. As the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Listen to this. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. How many of you love Genesis 1 for putting things back in perspective? This universe-creating God, he speaks and it is, let there be light. And there is light. One man called him a star-breathing God. Let there be a star, and there are stars. And who do we see here working as well? The Spirit is here working, hovering over the face of the waters. Some have compared him metaphorically, of course, to a bird hovering there, warming his eggs to hatch and to burst into life. The Spirit was involved in creation, as was the entire Trinity. How about the creation of humankind? I love Genesis 2:7. So Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. You say, what's that have to do with the Spirit? Well, that word for breath can be translated breath, spirit, or wind. They're all related in the Bible. God breathed into the man and he became a living being. Okay, the power of the Spirit to create life. How about the power of the Spirit to sustain life? Amen. To sustain life. You see this in the book of Job. Job 34:14. Listen to this. It says, if God should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, he's taking his spirit and his breath back, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. Wow. Some of you Avengers fans are thinking about Thanos with the glove with all the Infinity Stones, right? He snapped his fingers, and what happened? 50% of the Earth's population was gone. Whew. This isn't 50%. If the Holy Spirit was removed, 100% of breathing beings would be dust. From buzzing, brimming life to silence. Just like that. Some of us think we're indispensable. The Holy Spirit really is. I mean, think about the power of life sustenance mentioned in that verse. How about power for ministry? You say in the Old Testament? Yep, even in the Old Testament, he came upon folks for a specific season and a specific task to enable them to carry them out. People like Joshua, Gideon, and Samson are mentioned as having the Spirit come upon them. Judges 14:6 tells us about Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson with power. Now, there's something interesting about Samson. Despite how many kids' Bibles you've ever read and seen the pictures of Samson, we're never told anywhere that Samson was ripped. It doesn't say that. The only thing we know about his physical appearance was his long hair. Nowhere does it say he had huge pecs or huge biceps. He may have just looked like a normal guy. Maybe even scrawny. We don't know, since God loves to use the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But whatever he looked like, Scripture makes clear his power was not from muscles. It was from the Spirit of God to defeat the Philistines, the enemy of God's people. He was upon kings like Saul and David. And this reminds us that in the Old Testament time period, he could come for a while and then leave. He was often temporary. How do we know that? Well, he had been upon Saul. Saul disobeyed the Lord. And we read this tragic verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. No wonder David prayed later after his sin, Psalm 51:11, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. That was a real possibility for David. He saw it happen to Saul. It's the Holy Spirit's power in the Old Testament. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit's power in Jesus, in his earthly ministry. First, I want to talk about the virgin birth. How in the world could God the Son become the God-man? What a great quandary for us humans, right? Not for God. With him, nothing is impossible. But how? Luke 1:35, the angel told Mary, who had the same question, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Only by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed for ministry by the Holy Spirit. We know this from a couple places. In the book of Acts, later on, chapter 10, when Peter's talking to Cornelius and his friends, he's talking about Jesus' earthly ministry. And it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38, anointed by the Holy Spirit. What's this anointing about? Well, think Old Testament, right? Someone would become king. What happened to recognize him as king? He's anointed with what? Oil. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Christ was anointed as the Messiah, the Son of God, by the Holy Spirit. And we see it clearly in John chapter 1. You remember Christ's baptism. John 1:32. As John bore witness, he said, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. That's what tipped John the Baptist off. He's the one. He's the one. And I see an interesting Old Testament parallel here. If you just think whole Bible here for a minute. Just like the Spirit hovered over those waters at the creation of the world, as we talked about. Listen, here you see him hover over the baptism waters at the dawn of the new creation. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? Anointing for ministry. Power against sin and Satan in his ministry. What happened right after Jesus was baptized? Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Did he overcome? Yes, he overcame. Later on, when he's talking about his ministry of casting out evil spirits, Matthew 12:28, he says, it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons. That's why you can know the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Spirit was in his power against sin and Satan. Power for ministry overall. Right after that, Luke's on a theme here. Okay, he keeps talking about this. Luke 4:14, after the desert period with Satan, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had grown up. You all know going back where you grew up, that's one of the toughest crowds in the world, right? He's going back where he grew up. He's in the synagogue and it says he unrolled the scroll and found a place in Isaiah where it was written. And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So far, so good. They'd probably heard this passage before, but he's not done. Verse 20, as he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What's he saying? I am the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah that you've been reading for century after century. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know the Spirit was involved in his sacrifice on the cross for your sins and mine? We know the Father was. We know Christ was. How about the Spirit? Hebrews 9:14, the author says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. Without blemish to God. It was through the eternal Spirit that he sacrificed himself for your sins and mine. And finally, power to rise again. Romans 1:4, as Christ was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see the Spirit's power in the ministry of Christ? We have to be careful here. We have to be very careful here. Because as God the Son, Jesus had divine power of his own. Okay, we know that from John 10:18. He said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." We need to remember that Jesus Christ is not on the same plane as you. He's not on the same plane as me. Believers are sons and daughters of God in Christ. But listen, he alone is the only begotten Son of God. Believers are co-heirs with Christ by the grace of God, but he alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. But listen, he is also far above all rule and authority and power. I want to say this clearly because there's a lot of false teaching out there in the world. Any teaching that seeks to lessen the distinction between his godhood and our humanity is false. Beware. Beware. So then why all this talk about his dependence on the Spirit? The Spirit's power in his earthly ministry. Listen, number one, the Trinity always works in unison. It's a beautiful show of that. But secondly, listen to this. As the God-man, he modeled dependence for you and for me. See how I depended on him in my earthly ministry? Depend on the Holy Spirit, he would say to you and I. And that's where we shift in to the Holy Spirit's power in believers today. You don't even start at square one in the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. There is no salvation apart from the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? John 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," and there's a lot of sermons about what the water is, we're focused on the Spirit today, "and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And it was Billy Graham who drove home the old truth. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You see a life transformed and saved by Jesus Christ, you can be sure the Holy Spirit is there. And just like the wind's unpredictable, we of all people in this country know that, right? You better make sure that trampoline's batting down in your backyard in Arizona. You don't know when that microburst is coming. I think about the unpredictability of the wind. I think about how there's going to be people swept up in the salvation of God, believing in Christ, that we never saw coming into the kingdom. Unexpectedly. Think of how shocked the church in Acts must have been when the persecutor Saul came around presenting himself as a disciple of Christ. How unpredictable, how powerful. Anointing for ministry. That was true for Christ. It's true for you and I, believer. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, it's God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Just as Christ was anointed for the ministry at that baptism by the Spirit, the moment you believed, the Holy Spirit came upon you, believer, and you were set apart for ministry to Christ. John 14:16. I want to talk about power for ministry. Power for ministry. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. Listen, to be with you forever. These are beautiful words in light of what I told you about the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come and go. Not anymore, believer. Jesus says he'll be with you forever. Believer, you never, ever have to pray, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. You don't have to pray that. He is with you forever. I think about this, and I think about something that happened in John 20. Power for ministry. Interestingly, this is before the ascension, after the resurrection. So how it all fits together is a mystery to many. John 20, verse 20, says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here is another really cool Old Testament parallel. Think about it. Just as God breathed into Adam and he became a living being, right? Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on his apostles at the outset of their new life and ministry for him. Isn't that wonderful? The whole counsel of God's Word. Think about this power in ministry. One of my favorite passages is John 7:38. He said, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. Now I think about that verse, I always think about something one of my college professors told us. We're there learning, preparing for ministry, and he said, every one of you, and it's true of you believers here today too, you have a choice. You can take in all the knowledge we have in God's Word and keep it to yourself, keep it for yourself, maybe even get proud because you know so much more than those people around you. But you know what? Before long, you're going to turn into a nasty, stinking, algae-covered swamp. That's where that leads. Quite the opposite of this picture here. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I hear in that not only power, but refreshment for others, sharing what God has blessed us with, whether it's the good news or discipling another believer or encouraging. I want to have those streams of living water ministering to others. You say, how's that play out in the life of the believer? Well, first, power to witness, to tell others the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died, rose again for their sins, and by faith in him, they will be saved. Acts 1:8, we've heard it a million times already. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I was talking with a guy that's a landscaper, goes to our church this week, and he was talking about the work crew he's on and how God's given him some opportunities to witness to guys on the crew. And he mentioned one name in particular, and I said, I will hold him in prayer that he will come to know Christ as his Savior. But he confessed what every one of us knows, He said, sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts me to share with someone, but I bottle it up. Whether it's fear or whatever, I bottle it up. Have you ever been there? And I want to encourage you, and I encouraged him, hey, we've all been there. I've been there myself, but it sure does help to remember as we witness that we are not alone. As much as we want that person to come to know the Lord, he wants it even more. And there's verses in the Bible about what the Holy Spirit does in this. John 15, 26 says, Jesus says, he will bear witness about me. So think about that. It's not only that you're bearing witness about Christ to that person, the Holy Spirit is also working to bear witness about who Christ is. He's convicting the lost. Jesus said in John 16, 8, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You're not alone, believer, as you witness. One of my favorites, he says, hey, you're going to get dragged before the authorities sometimes and be asked to give an account for why you're preaching, what you're preaching. You remember what Jesus told his guys in Matthew 10, 20? Don't worry about what you're going to say in that moment, because it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. He will give you words in those moments. And countless martyrs throughout the centuries have proven that. Proven that to be so. This power to witness. And I was blessed this week. I've seen it in three different age groups. From the youngest on up, I talked to John Mailer. He said his son was at school this week. And somebody came up to him, his son, and said, I can destroy your faith in two words. Big bang. John said, his son said, you forgot one word. Theory. I'm guessing there was some preparation involved there, but I would also put money on the fact the Holy Spirit had him ready to go. Okay, how powerful is that? I talked with our oldest son, Jaden, down at college after he went to the GCU Loops game. The other night. They were on ESPN, and we were calling him saying, we saw you on TV, and that was cool. And then we talked to him the next day. He said he was up till 2. I said, oh, yeah, after the game, hanging out and stuff. He's like, yeah, but there was also two of our sweet mates that don't know the Lord yet, and a couple of us had the chance to witness to them about Christ. And he said, one of them's starting to read his Bible. Praise God. It's happening on the college campuses. And then the one I mentioned earlier, one of the guys that attends our church, married husband, employee at a landscaping company, out there on the golf course, witnessing to his co-workers, saying, would you pray for this one by name, that he comes to know the Lord as his Savior? I love it. I love it. Power to witness. Power to overcome sin and Satan. Anybody battling that familiar sin this morning? It's got its hooks in you and you're looking for victory. Romans 8:12 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How? By the Spirit. Today might be a good day for some killing. Not of individuals, but of that sin. By the Spirit. The enemy himself, 1 John 4:4. As you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Power to overcome sin and Satan. Power to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident, that you can call them for what they are. And he gives this list that includes sexual sins, idolatry, divisions with other believers, wild living. And he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank God there's a but the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you want more of these things in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You say they're fruits of the Spirit. So what's my part? And that's where we're going to close this morning. What is our part in all of this? Number one, same question that Philippian jailer will ask later in Acts. What must I do to be saved? And what did they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's where it begins this morning. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? The moment you receive Him, He sends His Holy Spirit to live within you. Second, believers, some of us need to realize the reality of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Paul knew this in his ministry. He said in Colossians 1:29, he said, I am struggling with all of God's energy that He powerfully works within me. Do you have that awareness? And third, allow yourself, believer, to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The analogy is clear. Do not be controlled by alcohol or any other substance. My brother's a paramedic, so holidays are rarely boring at our house. He told me a story one time of a guy at the intersection of 89 and 89A. Cars whipping by, and he's out there banging on people's windows as they're stopped at the stoplight. And then cars would zip by again, and then he'd go knock on some more. So the police were called, and then my brother and his ambulance were called, and the guy got in the back of the ambulance, and he's in there licking the blanket. He's licking the blanket. And my brother said the guy started to talk to him. This guy said to my brother, you know that spice stuff all the kids are doing? Tell them not to do it, man. That stuff messes you up. And he's pointing at himself. He was under the control of that substance. And Paul's saying, do not be under the control of substances. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. It brings me to that picture of Christ, John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you something this morning. Abiding is a whole lot more than just believing up here. Abiding is remaining in close fellowship with Christ, in loving dependence, worship, and obedience. Think of the Holy Spirit as the life-giving sap, if you will, that flows from the vine into our lives when we abide in the vine. You see a branch on the ground? It doesn't matter how long it lays there, it's not going to be popping out grapes, right? If it was conscious and able to try all day long, I want to push out a grape, it's not going to happen unless it's connected to the vine. And I think about what we're talking about here, abiding in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's a reality that we cannot create that power. You can't create it. I can't create it, but you know what? We can sure get in the way of it. We can sure get in the way of it. And I'm going to take you a weird place for a moment to Sonic. Okay, maybe you've been there at Sonic like I have. You order that large Oreo milkshake, and it's there. You know it's there. It's heavy. You're holding it, and you can't wait. And maybe you've had a little bit, but a couple sips in, something happens. You're sitting there, turning red, trying to get that out of there. You're like, what is going on? You pull the straw out, and what's happened? It's clogged. There's an Oreo clogged in there, and no matter how much shake you got in that cup, until you remove that clog, you are not going to be enjoying that shake. Sometimes there's clogs in our spiritual straw. We have the Holy Spirit, believers, but we're looking at our lives and we're saying, man, I don't see power in my life. I see failure and futility and emptiness. What is going on? Maybe there's a clog in the straw. I want to suggest three of those clogs. The first one is ongoing and unconfessed sin. Ongoing and unconfessed sin. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then it goes on to list a bunch of the ways we do it, by sin. And what happens, I think, believers, is we tell God we love Him. Somebody asks us, are we walking in the Spirit? We might say yes, but there's this little corner of our lives that we're holding back from Him. And it grieves Him. And He convicts us. And He lets us know that. But we continue to hold it back. And we may say, you can't have my premarital sex, Holy Spirit. That's off limits. You can't have my porn. You can't have my gossip. You can't have my bitterness and unforgiveness. And the list goes on. And as long as we stay there, there's a clog. You say, how do I get it out? Confess. Agree with the Lord this morning that sin needs to go. Repent. Change your mind about that sin. Turn around and walk away. That's the beauty of life in Christ. His mercies are new every morning. You do not have to walk out of here the way you walked in. Is there something you need to confess to the Lord this morning? Second one, saying no to what God wants to do in your life. Short and sweet, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Some of you know clearly, because the Lord's been putting it on your heart, as you read His Word and the Spirit leads you, there's some things He's calling you to do for Him. And whether it's fear or doubt or unbelief, you continue to say no, no, no. Maybe it's because it doesn't make sense to you. And instead of God being God, now my common sense is God. They don't always go against each other, but we've all been at those moments where we know well what God's calling, and it doesn't make total sense to us. The question is, will we trust? Will we trust? What's the answer? Say yes. Say yes, Lord. I will pray and look for that moment to witness to that coworker you've been putting on my radar. I've seen they're hurting. I've seen they're looking. And I will seize that moment. I will give to that poor person that lives down the street from me, because you put it on my heart to go down there and be a physical blessing in their life. I will spend time with that outcast at school or work that no one else wants to hang with, because that's where you would be, Lord. Stop saying no and say yes. Watch His power flow again. And finally, third clog I want to talk about this morning, and this is a subtle one: depending on self. Depending on self, doing it in my own power. The church at Galatia was doing this, some of them. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You say, how do I know if I'm depending on the Spirit or on the flesh? I'll tell you some indicators in my life. If it's been weeks or a long time since I prayed to the Lord for His help or about anything for that matter, or looked in His Word, I can tell you this, I don't care how much I tell you I trust God, my behavior says otherwise. If I depend on God, I will be a person of prayer. If I depend on God in my life, I will desire His Word and His guidance in my life. I think another red flag sometimes is when we get in the rushy-rushies. No, Lord, I'm not going to bring this to you because part of me knows what you're going to say. I'm just going. I'm just going to do it. Sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. Sometimes, always, we have to trust in Him. And I think about this last one. I think about depending on self is a tragic way to live for anybody, much less the believer who has the Holy Spirit of God. Who has the Holy Spirit of God living within. And I think about that. I think about a true story of a woman in Scotland. She went to her pastor in her extremity. She was poor as the day is long. And he asked her, he said, "Do you have any friend or family who could support or help you?" She said, "I have a son. But he's in India in the service of the government." The pastor said, "Doesn't he write to you?" She said, "Oh yes, he often writes me. And he sends me the kindest letters and such pretty pictures in them. But I'm too proud to tell him how poor I am. And of course, I have not expected him to send me money." Pastor said, "Would you mind showing me some of those pictures?" So she went to her Bible and brought out from between the leaves a huge number of Bank of England notes, laid away with the greatest care. "These," she said, "are the pictures." The minister smiled at her and he said, "Janet, you are richer than I am. These are banknotes, and every one of them might have been turned into money. And you might have had all your needs supplied." And then listen to the last thing he said to her. He said, "You have had a fortune in your Bible without even knowing it. You've had a fortune in your Bible without even knowing it." I think about that. I think about the reality that one of the greatest fortunes we're told of in our Bibles is the promise of the Holy Spirit within. Has He been there without us knowing it? Has He been there without us depending on Him? Zechariah 4:6 is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week. God, the Holy Spirit, we can worship and have a relationship with. Today we praise you for the power He brings to our lives. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in this room. I cannot save anyone, but they've heard where it begins today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Bring him to the cross, Lord. Bring him home. Bring him up front to talk with one of our prayer partners. And for us believers, if we're really honest, we spend chunks of our lives with those clogs. And we've chosen them. And we've become comfortable with them. And yet there's a part of us that cries out, "Lord, I want more. I want your power in my witnessing. I want your power to overcome sin. I want your power to minister again." May your Spirit work mightily to bring us to confession and repentance this morning. To lay them down at the foot of the cross. where the blood of your Son was spilled for the sin of the world. Claim your promise that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray that you'd lead us. We've been saying over and over again, we have the same risen Christ, same Holy Spirit, and the same mission as that early church in the book of Acts. May you continue to use us to that end this week. In your power, in Jesus' name, amen.